And now, live from Level 5 Productions on the island of Milleronia, it's the Larry Miller Show! Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, and everyone who's always wanted to be a security guard. Hi, folks, and welcome back to the Larry Miller Show. I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And boy, oh boy, is it ever gorgeous today on Milleronia. I know there are plenty of times where I travel around the world and, between us, entre nous, I may be getting another island to just for relaxation. That's all. I love Milleronia, and so does Colonel Jeff, and so does everyone who lives here. But I suddenly thought, you know, well, not suddenly. Over the last couple of years, I thought, you know what? I'd like a place where just I can go and, you know, I'll naturally have a lot of the pool girls in bikinis with Indian clubs and for massages, by the way. There's nothing untoward about that. You know, I'm the leader. Yes, I'm the founder. Yes, I'm the designer. But they're good young women, and they give you a heck of a massage. And never mind a happy ending. There's always a happy beginning. And in any case, I think that may be in the cards for me. And just keep that in mind, because if it's in the cards for me, it may be in the cards for you. And it's gorgeous here today on Milleronia. And I always see to that, as you know. I don't like it too hot, and I certainly don't like it too cold. But boy, it's nice, and I feel I'm happy. I love doing the show, and the music makes me happy. That's of course the Paul Kasabian Orchestra, and the Ray Dawn Chong Dancers featuring boy tenor Don Riley asking the musical question: if all rights are reserved, what about all wrongs? Good question. And yes, Don, I think they are too. All wrongs should be reserved too. Think of it this way, folks. All tables are reserved. All seats are reserved. All tickets are reserved. Fancy liquors are reserved. You know, the captain's reserve. So, yes, I think all wrongs are reserved too. I'm going to mug that old woman, and I've got to reserve the right to do it. Well, good. She knows me, and she doesn't know you, and I can be nicer to her than you. So, yes, good question, Don. Are all wrongs reserved too? Yes. Now, that doesn't mean that good, solid, decent people, like me, can't go after them and catch them and just make sure they can reserve all the wrongs they want, but they can't do it in front of me. And I hope they can't do it in front of you. I know they can't do it in front of Colonel Jeff. So you know what? If all rights are reserved, what about all wrongs? Yes, all wrongs are reserved too. But watch it. And by Amazon. That's right, Amazon's still one of my favorite companies, boy. You can get anything in the world you want from Amazon. Anything, just ask for it. And, of course, except for an actual Amazon. You can't do that. And we have had no tales told about... If you do, by the way, if your doorbell rings one day and it's something from Amazon and it's being delivered by, well, a gorgeous woman who's 6'2" and all muscles and got her sword at the ready. And, you know, she's friendly enough, but... Watch it. Boy, oh boy, you know, she's not kidding around with those deliveries. If that happens, call us immediately. So go to Amazon and don't go there in some, some complicated way. Sure, you can get there on a computer or your iPhone or anything else or any kind of phone or any kind of device. Let us do it. We'll take you there. That'll be simplest for you. Just go to our website, LarryMillerPodcast.com. Who's on the mountain? Tom Mix. That just sounds like a homer, doesn't it? And I think I should tell all the folks out there that that second cheer you hear there, where it goes up again, oh, yeah, that's where they hang someone. So you know what? So that's good at a ball game, too. And leaves, gives people something to talk about on the way home. Boy, and then they just hanged a guy. In any case, go to our website. We have a banner that says Amazon. Click that, and we'll get you there, and we'll get you there just fine. And that brings me to my favorite part of the show, the joke of the week. I love passing on a good joke, and the Colonel and I both liked this one a lot. An emergency operator is at work on her shift, and she's there, and she's on the phone, of course, with the headset there, and somebody calls in, and he's really upset. And she says, what, calm down, what is it? And he said, I'm hunting with my friend, and then we separated and just got, I saw something moving through the bushes there and through the trees, and I shot at it, and it was him. I shot my friend, and I don't know what to do. I went over, and I'm here, he's, I'm looking at it, I think, oh my God, I think he's dead. And I think he's dead. And the operator says, because she's a good pro, all right, calm down, sir. Remember, let's just go step by step. Trust me on this. I've done it many times. Now, first of all, you're standing there and your friend is on the ground. All right, number one, let's make sure he's definitely dead. Oh, okay. And the guy steps back and takes his shotgun and just boom! And then walks back to the phone and says, okay, he's definitely dead. Now what? And that's, we got a kick out of that. And that was submitted by fan Chris Brown. So thanks, Chris. That's a good one. Pass that one on, folks. And that brings me to my second favorite part of the show, the Poetry Corner. Boy, that guy coughing. Maybe the way the that guy's friend sounded like just before he was sent on to glory. In any case, this is a wonderful poem by a man who knows all sorts of things, and wonderful poems are one of them. It's William Shakespeare, and this is a poem called Fear No More. Fear no more the heat of the sun, nor the furious winter's rages. Thou thy worldly task hast done. Home art gone, and ta'en thy wages. Golden lads and girls all must, as chimney sweepers, come to dust. Fear no more the frown of the great. Thou art past the tyrant's stroke. Care no more to clothe and eat. To thee the reed is as the oak. The scepter, learning, physic must all follow this and come to dust. Fear no more the lightning flash, nor the all-dread thunderstone. Fear not slander, censure, rash. Thou hast finished joy and moan. All lovers young, all lovers must consign to thee and come to dust. No exerciser harm thee, nor no witchcraft charm thee. Ghost unlaid, forbear thee, nothing ill come near thee. Quiet consummation have, and renowned be thy grave. Well, isn't that lovely? And an interesting look on, well, you know what, when it's time to go, it could be wonderful. You know what, don't be afraid of it. And as the title says, fear no more. And that brings me to my third favorite part of the show. MMM, Triple M, the magic movie moment. This is a very good movie. I enjoyed it a lot. And I was in a movie also that was a takeoff on that name, and I'll tell you about it after this, but it's a very good movie. It's called Commando from 1985, directed by Mark Lester, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ray Don Chong, Dan Hedaya, Alyssa Milano, Bill Duke, Vernon Wells, David Patrick Kelly, and so many others. Got a terrific cast. And, well, this is where Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a commando. And he's going after the bad guys. And you know what, folks? Sometimes these movies don't work, but this one works. And it's a great cast. The bad guys are bad. They're good and bad. But the good folks are good. And they're good and good. And in the beginning of the first or third of the movie, Arnold's daughter has been kidnapped by the bad guys. And this is a real kidnap. This is no kidding. That's Alyssa Milano. And he's going to get her. And the bad guys were in his house in the woods in the big countryside. And they said to him, "Yes, that's right. We got your daughter. And so you have to do everything we say, right?" And Schwarzenegger gives a great wrong and just blows the guy away. He's got a big automatic, big shotgun. But it works. I mean, it not only works for the story, but it's good. It's really good Schwarzenegger. And then he essentially, he's going after a guy who can give him a clue, one of the bad guys. And he gets a hold of Ray Don Chong, who's wonderful in this, and she's a co-star for the whole movie. But he essentially grabs her and says, "Oh, you drive, I'll do this." She has a red convertible, and they're going after this guy who has a yellow convertible. And that's David Patrick Kelly, who plays Sully. And they chase him into a mall, and everything works. That's the key to this movie. It works that all this, Ray Don Chong is scared now. And Schwarzenegger says, "Go there, go do this, go into the restaurant, follow him, do this in the mall there." And she goes in there, and there's a mall cop there. And she says, "Please, I need your help. There's someone there who just kidnapped me, and he's very big, he's tremendous. That's him with the T-shirt on there." And the guy says, "All right, we'll take care of this." And, Schwarzenegger takes care of them. And it's good, though. It's really well done. It's 8 or 10 or 15 of these guys. Boy. But not when Schwarzenegger's finished with them. And they run. Sully sees this happening, and he runs back down to the parking lot, gets in his car, and Schwarzenegger and Ray Don run down to her car, and they get in her car with Arnold driving. And they chase Sully way up in the mountains there, in their two convertibles, by the way, and they're whacking him with their car, bam, on the side, and it makes sense, it's all working, and the guy's really, angry, and Schwarzenegger, up on these, small mountain roads, Schwarzenegger, bam, knocks into the side, and knocks the car over onto its side. And Sully, he pulls their car to the side and gets out and just, Schwarzenegger's over there in that walk he has. And he takes Sully out. He rips him out of his car on its side. And he says, he looks in his pocket and finds a motel key that says number 5, room 5. And all of this is working. I just want to underline that again. Hey, this is a plot, and this is a story, and his daughter's been kidnapped. And he takes Sully right to the edge of the cliff and holds him by his ankle out over the cliff, one hand holding Sully's ankle, and, of course, Sully's attached to it. And then Schwarzenegger says to him, "Yes, remember when I said I liked you and I was going to kill you last?" And Sully's upside down, out over a cliff, held by the ankle. And Sully says, yeah, you did. You said that. And then Arnold says, "I lied," and lets him go. And he Well, it falls 1,000 feet down a cliff. What's going to happen after that? And then Schwarzenegger just kind of marches back, and their car is all messed up, Ray Dawn's car. And she says, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to drive? We don't have a car. And Schwarzenegger walks over to Sully's car, the yellow convertible. It's on its side now. And Schwarzenegger, well, of course, just pushes it over onto its four tires. And he says, now I do. And it's just great that she gets into the car, and he gets into the car, and, you know, they're about to go off. He turns it on, vroom, it starts right up. And she says to him, oh, what happened to Sully? And Schwarzenegger says, I let him go. And just drives off. But you know what? It works. This whole movie works, and it's very, very good. And, well, Dan Hedaya is a great actor. Vernon Wells is terrific. He was in one of the Mel Gibson movies in Australia. And one of the, hey, we got to steal the gasoline movies. And they're all so good. And but I love that magic movie moment for me is when these things work, they work, and it's a pleasure. What's, you know, what happened to Sully? I let him go. Now, I'm not an impressionist, by the way. I can't do an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. But that works. Everything Arnold Schwarzenegger does in this movie, and then, well, he's tough as nails. And he goes, leads a mission with Ray Dawn going along, but he's the one who just goes into the giant camp there with all the army guys of this head bad guy, the president, and they're in Central America. And he takes care of everything. And there's a whole scene. He gets off the raft and that he paddles in to get to the shoreline of the island of the bad guys. And he takes out, well, this stuff, this the makeup for, you know, well, for army guys, for big tough guys. Puts it, and the way they shoot it is just great, though. The way Lester shot it is one finger close up under the eye. One finger and puts the mark on it. One finger under the other eye, puts the other mark and everything. He loads himself up, and you see everything close up. The big Bowie knife goes into the sheath, and you see it. And because he's getting ready for everything. And he, you know, loads the gun, the big giant shotgun. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Each shell goes in. It's very, very good, folks. And I recommend it a lot. And I was, by the way, I was in a movie called Suburban Commando, which was based on the structure of this movie. And that was starring Hulk Hogan and, oh, it was a terrific cast, and me. And it really was. And by the way, just before we leave the magic movie moment, I just want to tell you that for those of you who don't think that much of Hulk Hogan, I will tell you that we were on location in the city, in downtown Los Angeles, in a big office building, and we were there for about a month. And every single night after a full day of shooting, and Hulk Hogan is the star. He's in every scene. If there were 12 scenes shot in a day, he was in 11 of them. And you're moving them all along. And every single day, at the end of shooting, which about 5, 6 o'clock, well, people are tired. The crew, the actors, the director, everybody's about had it. And especially Hulk, you know, these and then everything, and he's the star. And every single day, there were kids behind a rope waiting for him. And they came with their dads, and they were there, and they had pencils and pictures they wanted to sign. And every day, Hulk, after a full day's work, Hulk would come out before cleaning up and with a big smile, and he'd go over to them. He'd ruffle heads. He'd sign pictures. He brought his own pictures, and he'd kid with them and say, it's, how you doing there? You going to be a wrestler too? And Yeah. And they loved it. They adored him. And he spent an hour out there every single day in the evening after a full day's work just doing this. Talking, chatting, laughing, signing things, taking pictures. And the kids were just, you know, as high as they could be. They were so happy. And the father said, thank you. Thank you, Hulk. And then they all left. And he went back then into his trailer to, well, wash up and change and go home. And I asked him, I liked him. We got along great. And after about a week of this, I said, let me ask you something. You go out there every night. You know, it's the end of a work day, and you're pretty pooped, and no one would ever blame you if you just leaned out of the trailer door and waved with a big smile and gave a stack of photos to one of your assistants and had them just pass them out so you could change and go home. And he said, no, you know what? These kids and their dads come sometimes a long way. They drive sometimes an hour, two, more. And they want to say hi, and it means a lot to them. And, well, I don't want to leave them in the lurch like that. And I remember I looked at him and said, get a load of you. And to myself, I thought that was one of the finest things I had ever heard. And something you might not hear, except, well, from me. And I really liked him after that. I liked him before that, but I thought, get a load of you. That's a very decent thing to do. At any rate, I was glad for that job, and I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was glad for the job in Commando. See it, folks. You won't be sorry you did. And if you're looking for one, see Suburban Commando 2. I think you won't be sorry when you see that one. Because there are some times, and that's the theme of, well, the anecdote for today, a parking enforcement guy knocked on my front door back on the mainland. And we got the two doggies, as you know, Ozzie and Maggie. And they were, they're always running. They come, they really want to see who's there. They just want to sniff around and jump up and see if the guy will pet them. But they're very sweet, and they're at my leg, and you always try and hold them back. And I opened the door, and it was a parking enforcement guy in full uniform. Well, it's full. It's Southern California, so, I mean, full meant shorts, but all formal, all official wear. Shorts and belt and shirt with the badge on it. And sunglasses, you know, meaning reflecting sunglasses. And he said to me, and he was a youngish fellow. He looked like about 20, 30 years old. And he said to me, he's got a clipboard there, too. And he points with the pencil out to in front of our neighbor's house on the right. And he says, is that your car, sir? And just the way he spoke is, it was too much. I know you know this, and I know it. But is that your car, sir? I said, no, it's, and I'm holding the doggies back. I said, no. And, you know, I don't know whose it is. And he said, that was my next question. Do you know whose it is? And I just, again, it's the, you want to say, take it easy. You know, just don't do this. I said, I don't know whose it is. No. And he said, I got to get him to move it, and I want to move it now. And he said, today is, and he named something with about 10 words in it, the curved street, unified attention of the, something or other. I'm telling you, he said what it is, and I had no idea what he said. But that's all right, too. And I mean, all right, meaning I'm not going to tell this guy, would you say that again, please? And he said it in the most official tone of a parking enforcement guy. And he said, but you don't know whose it is. And why would I lie? What's the point of any of this? And he said to me, well, if they don't move it, I will. And he said that in such an official, tough way. Why are you annoying me like this? What are you doing? And I said to him, look, they're good people over there, and can you cut them a break, maybe? It's, I don't know what the official day is, but, you know, leave them alone. Just cut them a break this one time. Folks, he didn't say a word. He looked at me in his shorts and his official shirt, and he took his sunglasses off just so I could see how strict his eyes were. And that's another moment of, oh, Lord, come on. He didn't say a word. He looked at me and then just put them back on and walked away. But it was a march. It was a da-da, da-da-da-da-da. And I wanted to say to him, but I said to myself, and I wanted to say to you, why do people do jobs like that? I know, of course, everyone needs a job. Again, there's no answer to that. There's just being strict. What is it with jobs like that that makes people so annoying? Or to feel that they desperately have to be Dirty Harry? Well, they're not. He wasn't. He had sunglasses he didn't need. He had shorts. That said it all right there, by the way, the shorts. He had, like, well, work shoes on for that job with socks over them, almost up on the calf there, and those shorts, and you just look at that and say, buddy, you're done. You know what? Just do this job, but take it easy. Well, Jeff, Colonel and I were talking about, he mentioned the next time guys, where this is all a lot of, you know, government work, and you know this happens, that you submit a form into a clerk behind a plastic window, and she says something like, I'm going to let you go this time on this. He hasn't done anything. I'm going to let you go this time, okay, but next time, and she points the finger at him, next time, see that you do it differently. Next time, don't use paper clips, staple it. Okay, well, that's, what can you say? Time to just hand it in and say, please just put it where you're supposed to put it, and I can leave and not have to see you again. Wouldn't that be nice for both of us? But the next time, guys, the next time, folks, who always insist on putting that exclamation point at the end of your little meeting, and the next time, I'll tell you this, though, next time, with the finger extended, next time, really? Next time? Well, sometimes, and the TSA guys at the airport do a great job. And sometimes they go too far, too. You know this, you know. Well, you should have taken the belt and put it with the shoes in that bin and not the one with the jacket. And okay, all right. Colonel Jeff remembered going into a department store and got a security guy right in front, not an old guy, a young guy, and a security guy, and who said, hello, sir. But he shouted it in such a loud way that was terrifying. Hello, sir! What? And it actually made Colonel Jeff just almost leap away. It's a little frightening. And then when he left the store, the guy also now yelled, goodbye, sir. Well, again, God bless you. Take it easy. They're fine with me. I like them. You like them, but you want to say, take it easy. And let's be honest. No security uniform is cool. It doesn't, you know, in the shirt that says, it's a uniform shirt, uniform in quotes, but it always has the patch on the shoulder that says Unified Guard Work or something that's just a little knuckleheaded and just, but they got it and you say, all right. I remember I had a part on Seinfeld where I was a doorman, the slightly annoying doorman Not to me, by the way. I thought it was a romantic lead, but, you know, it just reminded me, though, of, because you're playing that part, and it's natural, it's funny. Good acting lesson. You know what? It reminded me of Spencer Tracy's great advice to actors. Just say the words and don't bump into the furniture. That's good advice wherever you go. Folks, you know that and I know that. And we all know the same things. Homer is Homer and Pluto is a planet. So remember now, as always, if you walked out of bed today and had a job to go to and a home to come back to and someone there who loves you, folks, the game's over and you've won. You don't need to threaten anyone in a uniform. Be well, and we'll see you here next time.